Hey, thanks for tuning in to the hashtag Fish Life podcast. This is Tracy, and this week I actually have a guest with me. Guest, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good. I'm all right. So my guest this week is my good friend Alex. Alex and I have a very long and varied friendship from about 25 years moving forward, so that's a lot to grasp. the one thing I will tell you is I'm going to need you to speak up just a smidge if you can. Everybody can get your input tonight. Today is June. It's a Wednesday in June. It's definitely getting here in Cincinnati. It is a sweltering between 88 and 102 degrees, depending on where your car is right now. I'm kind of happy that we're winding down the month, both as far as the topics go for the podcast and just kind of moving into some non-rainy weather here. I don't know about you guys, but we've had like enough rain here that it's actually bringing out toxic plants in the area. So.
Wow. Okay. Hold on.
Alex. Right,
there we go.
Are you there? All right.
I am here.
Okay, cool. So you sound like you were in a you're like in the Cave of Wonder. You sound very far away.
Okay, do I sound better now?
You're a little closer, but yeah, okay. You still feel kind of distant. Are you on earbuds or are you just on speaker?
I'm on earbuds. Well, not really earbuds. Okay, I'm on wireless headset.
Y-buds? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, that should be okay. So we kind of agreed when we spoke last, or maybe you just, like I said, just let me have the idea and run with it. But the whole topic tonight is going to revolve around the effect that music has on us emotionally and how it has a tendency to draw up memories. Anything else you want to make happen tonight, or does that sound pretty good?
That sounds fantastic.
You're such a liar. Okay. All right. So let's start off. Like I said, we've had a friendship for about 25 years now. I'd say like 94, 95 was when we started being friends. We met each other in high school. We were sophomores in high school. And at that point in the mid 90s, music, Adrian and I talked about this when she was a guest with me a couple weeks ago. We talked about how music really was kind of evolving at that point. We were moving out of like old, what we would consider now old school hip hop, and we're moving into more of, and I think, you know, you and I. Hello. All right, this might not work this way. Okay. This is the hashtag Fish Life podcast. We're going to start over. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty there. All right, there we go. There you are. All right, so the whole month of June has been about the music that kind of made us and elevated us. And I think our friendship 95, so we were about 14, 15, 16, somewhere around that range. And we can both agree that there were definitely some artists that really spoke to us. And at that age, for me, I wasn't just physically able to go out and buy my own copies of artists and own it that way, but I was emotionally owning it. So what were you kind of coming into at that age, just to get a little bit of background for you, what were you really into at that time frame, like say sophomore year of high school? What was thoroughly going through your bright yellow Sony Walkman?
My Walkman at that point,
or Discman,
yes, my Discman that was skipping constantly because it had no skip protection, because I had a terrible Discman.
We all had janky.
Yeah, it was bad. I had to hold it very carefully on the bus. Had, you know, I was rocking Heavy D and the Boys at that point. I didn't get a CD player until probably right around that time. A CD player at the house, a Discman for school. Were all happened right around the same time, and the first CD that I bought for that was Heavy D and the Boys. The second CD I bought was Eric B and Rakim, and so that's what I was listening to at the time. You know, it wasn't necessarily like the first things I was listening to, but it was the first things I wanted to listen to on CD. And so that, you know, that's what was going through my CD players at the moment. Sophomore year, I can remember, which are kind of a dichotomy of, you know, of rap music. That's what I was listening to, those two things. And at the same time, you know, my memory isn't necessarily as great as yours. I think I was still, I was probably mixing, a little bit of alternative in there, but I'm not exactly sure what it was. 'Cause I know I was going through an alternative phase, too, either shortly after that or, you know, or soon to be after that. But I do remember there was definitely Heavy D, the Boys, and Eric B and Rakim. You there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. So, you know, like Eric B and Rakim and Heavy D were both essentially saying don't sweat the technique, but yeah. Heavy D was like, you know, it was the same thing, you know, but it was definitely speaking to different facets of our lives.
Absolutely.
I feel, right? And I do remember you going very heavily through, you know, you did Space Hog and you did,
yes, I did.
You did stuff like that.
Oh,
and I remember like going, right, Super Chair. And I remember like, or Silver Chair. And I remember you going like through these things and me going, please, nobody's gonna listen to this. like you try really hard, you know, you really bring it out people. And I think you did really taught me musically, and that taught me something, but it closed my mind. I'm not just very
why can't I hear you? Come on, little dogs.
outside? Trace, where are you?
Goodness. All righty there.
All right.
All right, we're going to try this again. So welcome to the Hashtag Fish Life podcast. This is Trace. Special guest, Alex, how are you?
I'm amazing.
So we're going to hope that this works. We've been having a few technical difficulties. Every time we hit around the five-minute mark, we kind of get disconnected from each other. So here's to an outstanding next maybe half hour to an hour, depending on how nostalgic we get. So before we got cut off, and we'll just kind of recap everything we've talked about, in the mid-90s is when our friendship started. We kind of got into discussion about the music that was sentimental to us at that point and what you were leaning in towards. You mentioned you were into Eric B and Rakim and Heavy D and the Boys at the same time. And I was mentioning that for me, it was the first time that I was actually able to really choose and physically own and emotionally own the music that I was tuning into. So then we started talking about how
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I'm getting some of this, but I'm not getting a lot of the conversation. It's kind of a problem. Okay. So
go ahead.
Okay, I was just gonna say, emotionally speaking, when you need something to bring you back into your orbit, where do you turn?
I usually turn to Outkast.
Okay, fair enough.
They are my anchor for a lot of things, and the album that has always been my anchor has been AT Aliens.
Yes.
It was sort of the album that was the first album that ever spoke to me in a way that no album ever had before.
Why do you think that was?
Because there was so many different tracks on the album that that had different types of meanings. Emotionally, for me, through stuff that I was going through at the time, spoke through transformation, because I think at the time the group was going through transformation themselves, and as a teen, you know, yourself, you're going through transformation, you know. Yeah, you don't know exactly who you are, you don't know exactly what you're going to be, you don't know, there's so much future ahead of you, and you are feeling so many different things, and at the exact same time, you know, you're going through relationships, and you're going through heartbreak, and you're going through pain, and you're going through love, and there was different tracks on that album that spoke to all of these different things. And for me, that album spoke to me in all of those ways. And that's what, you know, to me, like, they made a lot of albums, but that one to me was the one that I thought more than any other album and any other artists that I was listening to at the time was really a seminal work. And it's not, you know, in their catalog, especially, you know, mentioned as, you know, one of their best or, prided works. But to me, it's
all right. So I think what we're going to do is we're just going to keep picking up and going. If we get shut off, we're just going to have to keep picking up and keep going. Okay. I think Outkast was kind of unique to me because they were these, you know, out there kind of characters. And to me, it was the first time that I really recognized artists putting on a character that wasn't really a character. You know what I mean? It was definitely a unique situation that we had not seen very much, if at all, before. And then we were getting these two black guys from Atlanta that were wearing like fuzzy chaps and like bejeweled pimp suits, and you were getting this amazing out content of an outpouring of music from that. And they were kind of being ostracized by the whole hip hop.
Right.
So was it? Now there's of that. So
come on. Right. Yeah. I think that they, the thing about them is that after their first album, we all assumed that they were going to be one thing. And then their second album, they broke out of that and want to say they weren't what you thought they were. And we aren't going to be put into that box. We're not just these Southern Playlistic Cadillac funky music guys or the Players Ball guys. There's more to us than that. And that is what began the, you know, Andre 3000 and Big Boy story. And it's what makes them unique in hip hop. It makes them unique in hip hop culture. And what made them unique to me is that that album set them apart from any other group and any other rappers.
So the thing that used to kill me about getting cassette copies of albums from you was was that you would put everything on shuffle.
Oh my God.
And I would get the album shuffled, and then I would go and purchase the album for myself because, say, I don't know, cassette tapes became non-existent in cars, and I would go get the album and it would never be in the same order as I had listened to it, and it used to piss the shit out of me. Like, I just would be so mad that I had, you know, when you're listening to a CD and you get into that loop and you know how it's supposed to sound, and then you go and you listen to it, like even on the radio, if say something from Ludacris comes on and you have that album and you know what the next song, you know, it's already playing in your head. But then you give me an album like Nas, It Was Written.
Right.
You gave me that album, recorded it on shuffle for me, and I used to bump it in a Sony Walkman. I did have like the sports edition one that was like the, because, you know, at 15 I was so sportsy, it was like the rugged yellow one with like the headband earphones that had the earbud piece. I think that with the problems we're having tonight with the app and the technology, I'd really like to reschedule this for another day, so that we can get this under control without feeling pressured. I don't know if you can hear me, but I think that we need to sit down, and I wish we'd had time when you were in town to do this, and just kind of get it recorded, and then I could have saved it. I'm really excited to keep this conversation going. So why don't we call this part one? And then we can move forward from there at another time. But we need to really tap into why emotion and music are so intertwined. I think it's fairly obvious why, but I think it's really cool to get into personal experiences as to why and dive into, you know, just the personal feelings that surround it. So, Alex, I want to thank you for hanging tight with me tonight. Time, we actually can only go to about 5 minutes and then start over in 5 minutes and then start over in 5 minutes, and it's really actually very obnoxious, but we are going to go ahead and reschedule for another day. Alex, thank you so much for being a guest tonight, and I will have you on again real soon. We will record it, get it up and running, and then we will post for everybody, because we've got some really great things to say. This whole month has been really awesome talking about music, what it means to different people. I was able to interview my 13-year-old last week, and now we're moving forward. And next month is July, and I can't wait to see you all there. Alex, you and I will reschedule. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to #FishLifePodcast. Talk to you soon. Bye.